This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The start of week 14 in the NFL was also the perfect stage for Derrick Henry, who was in a giving mood. Whether you celebrate Hanukkah or whether you are looking ahead to Christmas, Derrick Henry just gave Nashville a holiday gift. And I mean the gift that keeps on giving. And for those of us who are watching from afar and looking at the playoff implications and the potential, the AFC just got another little wrinkle to it to start week 14. I told you I've been giddy about this weekend in the NFL, and I'll probably feel this way the closer we get to the end of the year and then postseason in January. But I love this final month, especially when you have so many possibilities. We've worked so hard. Oh my gosh, we've been in concussion protocol. Sometimes I feel like I belong there all the time. But we've got aches and pains, the mental grind. It's not quite like what the players are feeling this time of the year. But we've gone through the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows. And we finally got into crunch time. Say it with me, crunch time. And that is the goal, right? To get to this point, to still be standing, survive in advance. And now, whether you're in your fantasy playoffs or whether you have a team, like a real team, not a fantasy team, that is poised to make the postseason, this is when the season starts to be... starts to be a little more pressure-packed. You get that sense of urgency, the tension. You can feel it in your gut. We're not even in the playoffs yet. But because every single game matters so much in football, fans get nervous. Fans get even more engaged. And we finally get to see how this whole puzzle piece is going to fit together. So cool. We start with a record-setting performance from the 2015 Heisman Trophy winner, who may see one of his fellow Alabama stars end up with the Heisman now 3 years later. You know, the Heisman Trophy ceremony is this weekend, and Tua Tagovailoa just won the Maxwell Award for Player of the Year in Atlanta on Thursday evening, though Kyler Murray from Oklahoma walked away with the Davey O'Brien Award as the nation's top quarterback. So that sets us up for what could be, well, we have no idea. It could be a close vote, but certainly should be a compelling Heisman Trophy Award ceremony on Saturday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's our final show of the work week. That's also got me a little bit giddy. I got an email from the boss on Thursday afternoon, and he said, "Oh, I listened to most of your show last night." Whoops. He said something about you called yourself cuckoo, which he was a little cuckoo. He was probably awake and not fully cognizant. But I think the word I used was goofy, not cuckoo. Anyway, great. The boss listened to the show in which my brain and my mouth were not in sync. And the kind of show that I walk away and I wonder, what in the world did I say? It's one of those nights where I couldn't quite get it all together, and I said some really goofy stuff. So great. Thanks, boss. He can't listen to one of our shows in which I'm on point, and I wish I could say I've ever had the perfect show, but usually the perfect show is gone. The dream of the perfect show is gone within, say, the first 10 minutes. We'll see if we can get that to 15 minutes this night on the show. So our final show of the work week, watch, the boss won't tune into this one at all. And you know, we usually use this final Thursday night into Friday morning as a prep for the weekend that's coming up in football. Now, different in college football, we have Army-Navy, which is awesome. But of course, we are done with the regular season. We know the college football playoff is looming in about 3 weeks. It'll be 3 weeks from Saturday. And if you are frustrated and upset that college football's over. Maybe you're going to be jonesing. Maybe you go after the scorer's table like Rudy Gobert did. You get ejected from your game because you can't control your emotions. All right. College football will be back soon because we'll have bowl season that stretches interminably. I mean, just it feels like it goes on for months. And so bowl season will be here soon, but you do have Army, Navy, you have the Heisman coming up this weekend, and then you've got plenty of NFL games that will have ripple effects on the postseason. And this one certainly did, with the Tennessee Titans moving to second place in the AFC South, and with them getting above 500, they've put themselves ahead of the Colts. Now, are they going to win the AFC South? It's a long shot. It's not an impossibility, but we know that the Houston Texans right now have a death grip on that division. They've won 9 in a row. They've earned it. So if the Texans would come back to the pack, well, the Titans have now won 2 in a row. They're playing some good football. Just another way to stir the AFC pot, though, because even if they don't grab that division title, they now have the same number of wins as the Steelers, as the Ravens. Potentially this weekend, the Broncos could get to 7 wins. The Colts could also get to 7 wins. The Dolphins could get to 7 wins. And then what? Here's one thing I don't do on the show. I never try to explain tiebreakers. If it's past like the first one, which is head-to-head, or if it goes past your record inside your division, I'm out. Like, I'm just out then. I just wait for somebody to tell me how the tiebreakers go because they get too confusing and do not make for great radio. It's too frustrating to try to understand sometimes when they get down to percentages and like the fourth and fifth tiebreakers. But what I do know is that you've got an NFL, well, an AFC, while we're talking about the AFC, you've got an AFC that is thick around the middle. Got a couple of good teams, though they're not setting any meteoric pace. But you've got a few good teams, a handful of good teams that will compete for those byes. And then you have a bunch of other teams that are going to be jostling for playoffs over this final month. So we'll talk about the Titans. Jalen Ramsey has some strong words for the Jacksonville Jaguars in the stretch in which they've lost 8 of 9. And you wonder how Doug Marrone will survive this, if Doug Marrone will survive what has been a disaster for the team that went to the AFC Championship a year ago. Wow. And I know it was a surprise then, but come on, this is as big a surprise as what we saw from the Jaguars going into Pittsburgh last year, winning that divisional game, scoring buku points, and then having the lead against the Patriots in the second half. This is just as surprising. Certainly they're in the category, if not the front runner, for disappointment of the year in the NFL. So there's two sides to this Thursday night football coin. We have a bunch of other games that will get you set for this weekend, like the Rams and Bears, the Cowboys and Eagles. Also the Chiefs and Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. So a major test for the rookie quarterback there. Lots to get excited about there. Plus, as we talked about, there's some big college football awards to be handed out. I promised you on Twitter, and I will deliver. I've said it a couple times, actually, over the course of this week, and I just haven't done it, so that's shame on me. But I wanted to make sure I updated you on what's been going on with the show, because if you are a faithful listener, maybe you've noticed that we've kind of dialed back with some of the features and the different things that we do with our social media. We haven't done that over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And we've been working toward finding our next audio and video coordinator. And we definitely felt a void since Isaac left, but I think we're getting closer. So hopefully by Christmas, by the turn of the year, we'll have someone firmly entrenched, a new member of our team, not just someone that, you know, we're going to plug in there behind the double pane glass, but we want someone who's going to be a member of the team and be a valuable ally and asset for After Hours. But there's been a bunch of loose ends that I've wanted to update you about, and I just haven't been able to do that. I don't know why. Maybe I was avoiding it. No, that's not it. I'm not really sure why. We have been busy, so I'll give you that. And I just wanted to kind of get through these last 5 weeks and to the point where we could make a decision. And now, Deep breath. We're going to hit the reset button and we're going to start over. We do miss Isaac, but we're excited for the next stage, the next few years. Let's hope. Let's hope we don't have to go through this process again for several years. So we'll do that coming up on the show as well. And we are excited to have Derwin James, the rookie defensive back out of Florida State, into the NFL, playing a major role for the Los Angeles Chargers. They actually had practice canceled on Thursday unexpectedly, and he's going to join us about 25 minutes from now. So we're excited that we'll have some time with Derwin James. He has a lot of energy on the field. I am going to assume he has a lot of energy off the field as well. But he's among the best performers of this rookie class in the NFL. And it'll be good to talk to him about what the Chargers just did in Pittsburgh last weekend and this final month of the season. And remember, he's a rookie. So all of this is happening in his first year. It's not like he's got the luxury of taking it easy. No, it's get on the field and go make a difference. And he was prepared and is soaking it all in and is doing such a great job. Really versatile in that defensive backfield for the Chargers. And I think the defense has got some stars in its own right, though we often focus on the offense, to be sure. So all of that is coming up on our show, plus the significance of December 7th for me. Yes, it is Pearl Harbor Day. Although right now in Hawaii, it is 9? I think it's 9, just after 9 o'clock p.m. because Hawaii is 5 hours difference. So Alaska's 4 hours, Hawaii's 5 hours from Eastern time. And we still have half actually of our U.S. time zones who are Thursday, December 6th officially. But we'll get there to December 7th. And not only is it a Friday, which is awesome, it's also Pearl Harbor Day, which is very significant for our nation. And I think maybe fitting that this is the week we've spent so much time remembering the life and the contributions, the sacrifices, and the service of our 41st president, who was one of the youngest Navy pilots to fly in World War II. And so the fact that it's Pearl Harbor Day and that he was enlisted at 18 years old and that his dad cried when he decided he was going to go and serve his country. I mean, all of these stories that we've had coming out. He's been laid to rest now in College Station at his presidential library on the campus of Texas A&M. And my mom sent me a text this afternoon that said the train, the special train that was commissioned to carry him from Houston and the church that he attended in Houston, where there was a service today, to College Station, that train passed right through her town. And it passed through many towns on the way, but there were hundreds and hundreds of people in every town that were lined up along the train tracks to salute President Bush's casket as it went by and to get photos and to pay their respects. And just thought it was really amazing to watch as this train traveled through the Texas countryside, including my mom's town of Magnolia. And there are just people, streams, hordes of people who've parked along the train track, so much so that they had to put security and law enforcement along the track so that no one got hurt. And such a fitting week to honor everything that President Bush meant to this country, not just as a president, but as a vice president and someone who served in the Navy and a CIA director and a man who was so committed to family and to faith. And then to have it be Pearl Harbor Day on Friday, is huge. But there's also a mini significance of Friday for me personally. It has something to do with my sports background and my sports history. So lot to get to on this edition of the show, these next few hours. We're excited to do that. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, as always. Our Facebook page is After Hours with Amy Lawrence, named after the show. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Straight ahead, Derrick Henry runs his way into the NFL history books. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Henry behind him. Handoff, Henry to the left. busting out to the outside, 10-yard line, 15-yard line. Oh, a stiff arm from the 15 to the 20, 25 down the sideline, into territory for Jacksonville. He's still going. Henry is not going to stop. He goes all the way, 99 yards. Derrick Henry, that was magical.
And Tennessee takes over at the 46-yard line. Handoff to Henry, to the right, zigzag move, Henry to the 50, 45, 40, Henry down the sideline, can he do it again? Yes, Henry is gone, touchdown, 54 yards, Derrick Henry is not human, his fourth touchdown of the night.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Derrick Henry kicking off Week 14 in the NFL with a bang. Wowzers. A franchise record 238 yards rushing on 17 carries. Oh, my gosh. So I guess you could say that he put in a full night's work, except that he only had to touch the ball 17 times. And he had a couple messages for Jaguars defenders, like cornerback A.J. Boye, stiff arm. And then rookie linebacker Leon Jacobs, stiff arm. And then he takes Miles Jack and throws him around like he's a rag doll because a stiff arm wasn't enough. Holy goodness. So you had the 99-yard run and then a 54-yard run. And as I say, a franchise record 238 yards on his way to four touchdowns, which is one shy of the Tennessee Titans franchise record. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You want to know what's crazier? And we'll hear from Derrick Henry coming up here in a moment. This is his first game of the season with more than 60 yards. So he's had a really difficult 2018. Yes, they brought in Deion Lewis, the former Patriot. And that makes sense. There are a lot of former Patriots on the Titans roster now with Mike Vrabel as the head coach. But it's been a largely frustrating season for Derrick Henry. Of course, there have been a bunch of different changes at quarterback. Marcus Mariota not healthy the entire year. But he goes from not having more than 60 yards in any of the first 13 or 12 games, first 13 weeks, to 238 yards on 17 carries. Well, that's crazy. But according to Coach Vrabel, it was a steady progression and a steady learning process over the course of the season.
He stayed positive. I mean, he's attentive in the meetings, and he understands maybe just getting a better feel for where he can take some of these runs and what he can do. And you know, it's been good to see, and we're going to need to continue to get that. I mean, we're going to be playing against another good team next week with a really good running back. You know, I appreciate Derrick always saying that he had to do better, but we all had to do better.
It's not really about me. You know, it's about those guys blocking. You know, for me to be able to have success, me to do my job, I got to count on those guys. So credit to them. And I'm not going to take all the credit. You know, they definitely deserve it. So but hats off to those guys for my success.
So Derrick Henry keys this victory over Jacksonville. But man, on the opposite side, the other sideline, the Jaguars, oh my gosh. Every time you think it can't get worse, it does. This is a game inside their division. Now, I know they're just, 6 days after shutting out the Colts. It's a red-hot Colts team with Andrew Luck playing extremely well, and they shut them out 6-0. Okay, but then you turn around and you give up 238 yards rushing to one guy. And overall, the Jaguars, while they managed to scrape together a touchdown late, 264 yards rushing against their defense, 426 yards rushing overall. Now, you got to consider the formula here. It's not just the fact that the Jaguars' defense missed a lot of tackles in this game, not just the fact that they got beat in the trenches by the Titans' O-line, but also consider that the offense can't stay on the field very long, which means what? The defense is having to work overtime, more snaps. They get tired more quickly. Now, I wouldn't say that's a good excuse for Derrick Henry going 99 yards in the second quarter, but as the game wears on, when you're in a hole, it's harder and harder to make those tired legs, those sore legs, get down into defensive stance and be ready to go. because you've been out there the majority of the game. As it turned out, the time of possession evened out, but that's the end of the game, right? I mean, they're having a chase all night long. And it seemed like from the very first possession, which of course the Titans used to score. In fact, it was a 10-play, 5.5-minute drive. The Titans offense started off the game like that. They couldn't get off the field. The defense. And that's just, it's demoralizing. And you right away put yourselves in a hole. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, a little extra piece of history, because you know how much I love the history. The nerd alerts. This 99-yard run by Derrick Henry tied the longest touchdown from scrimmage in NFL history. So going back to Tony Dorsett, 1983, it was a 99-yard rush as well for Tony Dorsett, and Derek was asked about it after the game, and he was just in awe. But something else that's kind of cool, a connection, it was Thursday Night Football on both Fox and NFL Network, and it was Joe Buck who was handling the play-by-play duties of this game. So, of course, he was the one who was calling the touchdown. Well, going back to 1983, it was his dad, iconic Jack Buck, who called the Tony Dorsett touchdown.
Here is the give to Dorsett. He breaks through a hole and comes out to the 10 to the 15. He may run 99 yards. He is to midfield. He's to the 40, 35, 30, 25, out of bounds. No, he didn't go out of bounds. It's a touchdown. A touchdown for Tony Dorsett. The longest rush from scrimmage in the history of pro football. He ran 99 yards and 2 feet.
And so you have Jack Buck calling it in 1983 when it was Tony Dorsett of the Dallas Cowboys scoring at that time the only 99-yard rushing touchdown in the history of the league. And then you get Derrick Henry doing it on Thursday Night Football. And it's Joe Buck who's got the call on Fox TV. Another little note that I happen to see as I was doing my research, because, of course, I do not remember the Tony Dorsett run. Do you know that when Dorsett went those 99 yards against the Vikings, the Cowboys only had 10 players on the field? That's kind of an odd little twist to that. But, yeah, they only had 10 players on the field because one of Dorsett's teammates apparently misunderstood the play call and ran off the field before they snapped the ball. And so they're out there with 10 guys, and he still goes 99 yards. And that was Jack Buck on CBS Sports. Really cool to hear that on Westwood One as well. So Westwood One has a great research staff, and they always seem to come up with these cool connections between the present and the past. So starting off week 14 with a bang, and coming up next, we've got a little more of the preview of week 14 as the Chargers will take on the Bengals. And that means an opportunity for Los Angeles to get to 10 wins. So double figure wins. Can they build on that victory against the Pittsburgh Steelers last Sunday night on the road? Don't want to have a letdown against the Bengals. And of course, they're trying to track down the Chiefs atop the AFC West. Really excited to welcome the rookie defensive back for the Chargers, Derwin James, straight ahead. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're really excited to welcome Derwin James, the rookie defensive back for the Chargers, who's got 3 interceptions and is among those players being mentioned in the breath of best rookies and rookie of the year. And Derwin, we're excited to get a couple of minutes with you. Thanks so much for joining us. That game you guys played against Pittsburgh last Sunday night was really awesome. Can you tell me what was going on at halftime when you're down on the road and facing that uphill climb?
Just to remain calm and, you know, to just not look at the scoreboard, basically having that mindset of, you know, that we're not playing the way we need to play, but it's the opportunity second half for us to play what we need to play. And I feel like we came out in the second half and executed and finished the game how we're supposed to finish.
Yeah, for sure. Being able to come out of the locker room on the road in hostile territory, backs against the wall, you hold the Steelers' offense to only 7 points in the second half. How did you feel like the defense performed differently in the third and fourth quarters?
Yeah, it was a tremendous effort. You know, everybody stepped up on defense from the D-line to the secondary, and then I just say it was just an overall great team win because, like you said, we had a big plays on special team. And then we had our offense. Once you get on the ball, they're rolling. So it was just a good win.
And such a huge moment, too, for Desmond King. As you're trying to come back to even, tie the Steelers, he breaks through 73 yards for a punt return touchdown. Not sure what your perspective was, Derwin, but what was happening on your sidelines?
Everybody's going nuts. I mean, it was excitement everywhere because all year long, he's been a great returner. And, he's just been one guy or one block away from scoring. So we know if we just give him a little space for the opportunity, he'll make something happen. And like I said, the guy has did a great job blocking for him. And once he's seen the crease, you know, he hit it. And offense did a great job of converting two-point conversions in a row. So, you know, that was big by helping us get back in the game, being down 16.
You guys had obviously put together a nice win streak earlier in the season, and so you've had some success, but this is on the road against a team that's fighting for a division title. Hostile territory, as I said. How big was this win exactly, Derwin?
To me, it was one of the biggest wins of the season. I hate to, you know, just say that, but I feel like it was one that we really needed. And like you say, against a great team within Pittsburgh in their place, so, you know, like I said, it did a lot for our team, you know, getting that W.
As we enter into week 14, we're spending a few minutes with rookie defensive back Derwin James of the Los Angeles Chargers after that huge victory in Pittsburgh, their home to take on the Cincinnati Bengals. And Derwin, you guys have had a bunch of success, as I said, but what did you learn about your team as a whole after this win in Pittsburgh?
We don't just, when we say fight for each other, we don't just say it. We really mean it. And, you know, just being down and against adversity on the road, you know, when things just not going right, you know, being able to battle back in such a, like, loud environment, you know, it just shows the type of team we have and the type of toughness we have, you know, under the light. So I feel like it was a good team win, like I said.
And all of this happening in your rookie year, so your first year in the NFL. Coming from Florida State, Derwin, what do you feel like has been the biggest adjustment for you?
The biggest adjustment, I have to say, is time management. Because, you know, once you're watching film and you're practicing and doing stuff, it's like it's no more school when you leave. So it's like, this is your job, this is what you do, like versus a 9-to-5 versus someone else is doing, you know. You're actually going to work to play football, so it's like it's no other better feeling.
So you prefer studying the playbook instead of going back to class?
Oh yeah, of course. Come on, man.
I like to ask rookies what the biggest difference is in the college game and the pro game. So what's the biggest difference for you?
The biggest difference, I'll say, the speed is a lot different. I'll say that the speed and the quarterbacks, because there's some great quarterbacks out there, and they study tendencies and. They, like, you really got to, and on this level, you can't just get away with, you know, doing certain stuff every week. You got to change it up. So I'll just say the quarterback's been a lot smarter and just the speed at which you got D linemen running 4.6, 4.7. I mean, you don't see that in college. So I'll say the speed and the quarterbacks are a lot different than in college.
Well, I'm glad you brought up quarterbacks because that's where I was going next, Derwin. You obviously have one of the greats on your team in Phillip Rivers, plus an incredibly versatile running back in Melvin Gordon, though I know he didn't play last week against the Steelers. When you do have the chance to match up against those guys in practice, what's the first thing you do to try to contain not just Gordon, but a quarterback who can hurt you in a variety of ways?
If I had to contain them, I'd just say make sure everybody's on their job, because any little weakness or any little false step, you know, they can tell what you're doing, and they'll take advantage of it. So, like I say, you got to really be on against those guys. It's great to have guys like that, a great offense, in which we do, you know, being able to go against them all training camp and OTAs and, you know, during a week, once a week. So, you know, it's good to have players like that on your team.
And so far, so good. You guys are 9-3, just behind the Chiefs in the AFC West, taking on the Bengals week 14. We're spending a few minutes with rookie safety Derwin James of the Los Angeles Chargers. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So I know you have 3 interceptions this season, but what's it like to snag one off of a guy like, say, Ben Roethlisberger, like you did in Pittsburgh last weekend?
It's a great feeling because, you know, especially for me, you know, being a rookie in this league growing up, you know, you watch those guys, you know, they become your idols, you know, growing up. And, you know, just to be able to make plays and, you know, play against them is really exciting. It makes the game that much more exciting. Like I said, I'm just happy to be an NFL player.
So did you have a welcome to the NFL moment, that moment where you kind of pinch yourself and you realize, holy crap, I'm actually here?
I'll say in practice, you know, just dealing with those linemen in the box, you know, sometimes when they get their hands on you, you know, they can welcome you. So I'll just say that.
I mean, they're not going to take it easy on you. You're a rookie. Welcome is what they're saying. How about in your locker room, Derwin? Are there guys that have shown you the ropes a little bit that you feel like have really helped you get acclimated with some wisdom that they could share?
I'll say really the main guys are Jahlil, Adai, and Adrian Phillips. But me, I'm the type of guy, you know, I take something from everybody. So I'm learning because I play so many positions. You know, I learned something. I talked to Melvin and Joey Bosa. You know, they teach me stuff about, you know, how the line is doing this, how they're doing this. So, you know, I'm constantly learning from different guys. You know, I'm always that guy that's trying to learn as much as I can from my teammates, you know, especially with those guys. Already been in the NFL, you know, got playing experience, Pro Bowl type guys. So just learning everything from them.
Not only are you getting help from them, but you're getting a crash course with a team that's got a lot of promise in this next month of the regular season. But how much did going to a school like Florida State with so many guys who've made it to the NFL help prepare you for what you're going through now?
Because I feel like, you know, coming to the NFL, I was well prepared, you know, just being under Coach Fisher's system at Florida State, like you say, playing with Division I guys and guys that, you know, make it to the pros. I feel like it prepared me at Florida State to where I am now. You know, just how we practiced and ran practice and, you know, prepared ourselves for the games. You know, it's a little different. It's different wording, but we kind of use the same kind of terminology. So, you know, I say credit to Coach Fisher for that and Coach Kelly.
And I'm sure they are really proud to watch what you're doing on the NFL stage. Derwin James of the Los Angeles Chargers with us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So the most important question that I need to ask you is, are you having fun? I know it's a lot of work, and I know that there's potential playoffs in the future, but I really want to know if you're having fun.
It's so much fun. I can't explain to you what type of locker room we have. And the type of chemistry we have as a team, you know, I can't even really put it into words, you know, because I haven't been in a lot of locker rooms, you know, throughout my career, you know, just playing on different levels. And like I say, this is one of the best ones I've ever been in. Just guys and the people, you know, I look forward to going to work every day to work with the people that I work with. So, you know, I'm just blessed, you know, to be able to say that I play for the Chargers.
That's awesome. When it doesn't actually feel like a job.
Can't wait to go to work with those guys. Like I said, the coaches make it fun, but you know we get the work that we need to get. You know, so it's I love LA, man.
And you're back home in Los Angeles to take on the Bengals in Week 14, a chance to get to double-digit wins. Rookie defensive back Derwin James of the Chargers, great to spend a couple of minutes with you. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.